Listen to Phyllis Lockwood talking about her childhood in the 1930s and 40s. Exercise C. Listen and take notes. Reader, page 42. Workbook, page 22.
You lived yourself in New Jersey, is that correct?
Yes.
And did you grow up in New Jersey?
Yes, I did. In the city, in a very nice middle-class neighborhood. And the color of our skins were not mentioned that much. We were just kids in the neighborhood. And it wasn't until we started growing up and running into different classes of whites that we noticed they were making a difference.
Now, do you know whether or not in your, your grandparents, whether they grew up in the South or were they slaves themselves before you moved up to New Jersey? They moved the family north?
Our family was never in the South. My dad came originally as a little boy, came from Virginia. And he lived in Elizabeth, which is in New Jersey, a town in New Jersey. My mother lived in the Jersey Shore, down at the shore. And they met and married and lived in New Jersey, the upper part of New Jersey. They had five children there. And all I can remember is we were all different colors. My grandpa looked like he was white. My mother looked like she was white, but they weren't. And we never questioned it. It didn't seem important to us. Dad was a brown man. He was in the Navy. And black men weren't allowed to go to the Navy except to be cooks. And I still have that picture of my dad that in his naval uniform. I don't think he ever got out of the United States, but he told us tales that how he sailed around the seas. But he was in a very prejudiced time, the Second World War. The First World War. He was in the First World War in the early 1900s.
Did your parents have any dreams for their children? Were they happy with where they were bringing you up, or did they want to see you become professional people, move to another place?
No, my family didn't have dreams about that. They knew that we were all going to make something of ourselves. That's the way we were taught at home. We were taught pride and honesty. And an honest day's work, no matter what you did, was fine. If you scrubbed a floor or taught in a classroom, this was fine, as long as it was honest.
While you were growing up and going to school, did you notice anything different between you and the white children around you? I mean, was there any big difference between the black kids and the white kids?
There weren't too many black kids, but the white kids seemed poor because we used to always come home and say, can we take some food or clothing to the poor kids? And my mother would tell us we were poor too. And we would go, and there was a Catholic church there where you'd go and you would get bread. And I was wondering, why were those kids getting bread every night? Could we go and get some bread too? And my mother said, no, we have enough at home, but we were poor too.
Did you notice any difference in school, the way you were treated in classes?
In the lower school, when I first went to school, no, maybe I was too young to notice. But as I got to the part where they were teaching you how to survive in the world, I remember home economics, that I was going to clean someone's house or be a maid, and my best girlfriend would be the person that I would work for. And I kind of wondered why I couldn't wash the glasses and why did I have to always wash the garbage pans. And I didn't realize until later on where that's where they thought that I would be, in someone's kitchen.
What about your self-image, the way you felt about yourself?
I felt that I had a very inferiority complex about my physical self. I did not realize that I looked okay, and no matter what anyone else thought, I was okay. It took me many, many years to get that way, and just recently, my children was looking through old pictures of mine, and they said, "Is this you when you were younger?" And I said, "Yep, there's nothing wrong with you." But I didn't know, because your beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, and if you're not taught that you are beautiful, you'll never know it.
Did it bother you that your hair was curly?
It wasn't curly, it was nappy. That's what it was called, nappy. It did bother me because you were supposed to have straight hair because that was good hair. That's what it was called, good hair. And we didn't know why it was called good hair, but we got straightening combs and curling irons and Marcel irons to fix our hair so that it looked like good hair.
How about the names that you were labeled?
Not too many. As the time went along, there was a time we were called Negroes, colored people, and of course the very negative nigger, which wasn't acceptable then or now. Also, Afro-Americans finally came. Like, we're being called Afro-Americans now, which I think is very unfair because I have been making the mistake of exactly what people of other races have been doing, looking at someone's skin and saying they're Afro-Americans, and they've corrected me. They're Dutch, they're French, they're Africans, which has nothing to do with Afro-Americans, because these are people of a country that own the country and run their country. Afro-Americans are, the definition would be a slave that came from Africa, and you just don't call everyone a slave when they're not.
Phyllis, you graduated from high school. And then did you get a job?
No, I wasn't able to get a job in any of the corporations. So I took a job living in on Fifth Avenue in New York with some very wealthy people, taking care of their children and cleaning. I would have one day off a week. But when my day came for me to have the day to myself, I didn't realize that the day wasn't mine. I had to wait until the children got fed and the lady got out of bed, and I said, this wasn't fair, and I packed my clothes and quit the job. And on the way home on the train, I ran into a reporter, and he asked me, why was I leaving home or going home? And I said, I'm going home. I just had a job, and it was my day off, explained to him. And she wanted me to stay until 12 or 1 o'clock on my day off. And he said, would you mind if I get you a job? I said, no, not at all. I got off the train, and he took me into the telephone company, and he took me to personnel and asked them to have me fill out an application, and the lady tested me by asking me to spell Susquehanna and Frelinghuysen, and I couldn't spell either one of those, and she said I wasn't qualified for the job, and I said, well, I never even saw those names before, and the reporter said, well, ask her to spell something very simple like telephone. I spelled telephone, and she must have known that there was something going to happen for this reporter there. And I got the job, and I stayed on that job with the telephone company as a payroll clerk until I got married and had my first daughter.